Praise the Lord, family. This is Mama T with the Gift of Life Show. I'm so glad you joined us. Hey, I'm going to continue this episode titled The Reality of Sin. And our last episode, we were dealing with the question, what does it mean that Satan masquerades himself as the angel of light? And that would be episode 6A, and this is 6B. So I hope you're tuning in. Always go back to our website at www.lovebyexample.com. Click on the archives, and you can select from a lot of shows that we've done and catch up with any series that you need to catch up with. So anyway, now the last time I talked about, we talked about how the darkness and light and good and bad, God uses a lot of metaphors to help us to see those contrasts and from evil to good. Darkness representing blindness, evil, and light representing that you can see and things that are good. Darkness representing Satan and sin that come to masquerade and cloud the light of God's word, and light representing God, who is the God of light. And Jesus says he is the light of the world. Hallelujah. John 8:12. So I said in the last episode, we talked about that. So I left with the question and saying, well, how can we discern which is the light of God and which is the light of Satan, since he transforms himself as an angel of light? And that's what we came from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where it says, and no wonder, it says right here, verse 14. He says, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself as an angel of light. Therefore, verse 15, it is no great thing that his ministers also transform themselves as ministers of righteousness. See? So, Paul is concerned, not just for the Corinthian believers, which I read that from, but for everybody. I mean, you know, God is concerned about this. God is concerned that the unsaved get saved in the correct way, which is through Christ Jesus, and that the saved don't get lost. Not that they can lose their salvation, but don't get lost, entangled up, and deceived by the enemy trying to obey God's holy law, which you can't, which is called legalism. And this is what Satan works with. He just wants you to feel and think that you have to appease God by you doing something. And that is called legalism. Or the opposite extreme is libertinism, like the Corinthians. They can just do what they want to do since they are saved. Both extremes are wrong. If Jesus Christ in you, and that's where 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself to make sure that you are in the faith and that Christ is in you. So it's a changed heart that Christ gives you when you become born again that causes you by his power, that's the second P, brand new position by his power, so you can exercise and perform from that platform. You're not fighting for victory anymore. You're fighting from victory because of Christ living in you. And that's what my book is all about. Do you see what I see? And you can go online at www.lovebyexample.com, order your book there, or you can contact me personally, or and you can check out any of our Gift of Life episodes if you think that you missed any, or you just want to explore and listen to some. So Paul says in the same chapter in verse 3, he says, but I fear lest some of you somehow, as the serpent has deceived Eve by the craftiness of your mind, may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You see that? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 3. So Paul is concerned and afraid that believers aren't really meditating on the word of God. They're not holding on to it. And therefore, since that's the light, Satan can come in and transform himself as an angel light and deceive you to believing in false doctrine, anything that opposes the will and the ways and the word of God. So how do we discern that? Our minds, and you notice that he said, I'm afraid that your minds, so it's a mind thing. It's not a doing thing initially, but it's a mind thing because your mind cannot do anything. Your body parts and your brain can't respond to anything that you do without first going through your mind. So the mind is over matter. And Paul says right here, he says, I am concerned that the enemy basically has with his craftiness or masquerade, and he has deceived you in your mind. So it's a mind thing that Paul is concerned about. That's why he tells us we have to renew our mind, because we were born in sin. We were duped in sin, inherited this from Satan and sin through Adam and Eve. But now we're in a brand new relationship with God. Our relationship with Satan and sin has totally changed. Satan has nothing on us because we're in Christ Jesus. That's what Jesus even said about himself. In John 14:30, he says the wicked one of this world has nothing on him. Well, if you're in Christ, Satan and his demons and his lying voices, I've talked about that in John 8:44, how he speaks lies, they have no hold on you. The only hold that they have on you is the hold that you give them to. One person said, it's like having a dead dog laying in the middle of the street. The dog is dead. It can't move, can't bite, can't bark. The only movement that it has is if somebody goes over and kicks it and when it moves. And that's the way Satan is. That's the way sin is. The only power they have over a believer, whether that comes in the form of sickness, doubts, discouragement, depression, disappointments, all those codependency mental attitudes, things of the past that you think about, all those different things that keep you down, keep you from moving up and becoming who God has called you to be, believing God's word over anybody else's, all those things is just like a dead dog. But if they have movement control in your life, it's because you're giving it to them by focusing on them or meditating on them. Instead of meditating on God's word, we're going to look at that down a little bit. You're meditating and focusing on the things of the past, the things that are dead. So we just need to bury that stuff, detox that stuff, and get on and press on to the prize of the high calling. So, bottom line, how do we tell the difference? Well, many scriptures in the Word of God let us know if we're on the right path, making the right choices. Psalms 119 is a great chapter to read. That's the longest chapter in the Bible, is Psalms 119. And if you just want to meditate on some verses that are pointing you to God, pointing you to Christ, because it's always about Jesus Christ, he's the theme of the book, go to Psalms 19. I mean, I'm looking at it right now as I'm turning my pages. All through Psalms 19, there's, oh my gosh, how many verses is there? I believe there's 176 verses in Psalms 119, and it's all about meditating on the Word of God. Isn't that beautiful? So if you have a hard time focusing on the Word, just focus on this one chapter. Start there, and God will do the rest. Praise God. That's all we got to do, is just believe, and we will receive. Okay, so Psalms 19, 119 is good. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's verse 105. And then the unfolding of your word gives life. It imparts understanding to the simple. That's verse 130. And the word of God has power. Oh, it's so beautiful. Power to overcome the lies and the remaining residue of those sinful thoughts that are in our mind and in our body, as we believe them and receive them. So just as God's voice spoke in the beginning of the creation, just as God's voice spoke physical light into existence, he can still speak spiritual light in your heart. As you surrender, as you humble yourself and you're hungry for God's word, because he says he resists the pride. See, the proud, he resists the proud. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And what is grace? It is unearned, unmerited favor of God in Christ Jesus. So all you do with a gift like that, a favor like that, what do you do with the gift? You just receive. So how do you receive? Read his word. Meditate on his word. Hallelujah. So his word, his voice, his will give exposure to the light of his love that he has for you. And you'll be able to tell the difference between the light of God and that of the counterfeiter or the masquerade Satan. The Holy Spirit will give you discernment in the word so you can tell the difference. And this is what I'm concerned about, very concerned about, that too many believers today do not discern the difference between God's word and Satan's words. And because of that, Satan, by default, just takes over their lives. That dead dog just comes alive because people are kicking it by believing the lies. Oh my gosh. Brothers and sisters, get my book. I just take people back to do you see what I see, to who they are in Christ. We have to stay focused on Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because that's where our new life, being born again, began. And that's what we got to learn to live in this new country, to live in this new realm, this new sphere that we've never lived there before. So you need to hang around other godly people that are learning how to live the heavenly life. You got to learn, you got to hang around people that will help you to understand through your giftings by the power of the Holy Spirit, the second feet, how to walk through your giftings. And then you'll learn how to perform through that. So it's just basically being accountable, having a fellowship group, having a worship place that you can go to. And it doesn't mean going to a building and a place. That's not worship. It's not a place that we're seeking at to come. It's a person. And when we do gather together in corporate worship, that's just worshipers coming together, worshiping together. But you're already worshiping. You're already serving God. You're already bowing the knee to Him because He's inside your heart as you meditate on His word. Hallelujah. So Satan presents sin. He speaks sin to us. And something pleasing and beautiful that he'll cause you to want to desire. And he presents false teaching as enlightening and life-changing. That's why there's so many false religions and deceptions in this world today. And Isaiah 8, 20 and 22 describes about this darkness that results from ignoring God's word. And every religion in the world, other than Christianity, they have to perform and do something to appease their God. Every one of them. God in Christ, Christianity in Christ, we don't have to do anything. We just receive what He's already done for us. Because in our humanness and our ideas of how we think life should operate and what we think about life after death, there's nothing we can do to forgive ourselves. There's nothing we can do to atone for our sins. There's nothing we can do to be set free and born again, because there's nothing within us. Because our righteousness is like filthy rags. That's what Isaiah 64 says. And our righteousness is like filthy rags because it's tainted with sin. It's only what Christ has done for us. Isn't that beautiful? But Satan attacks that. He attacks the cross. That's why I encourage people to take communion and stay close to the cross, because it's in the cross, in the blood, whatever term you want to use, that Jesus Christ was your substitutionary atonement. It's in Him that gives us life and life more abundantly, supernatural life to overcome the toxic remaining demonic thoughts that we brought into our new relationship with Christ. But they have no control over us. That's Romans 7. Hallelujah. And Romans 8. All right. So basically, darkness is the result of attempting to find truth without God's word. Sadly, as Isaiah said in Isaiah 8, when people do not have the dawn or the light, they wander in darkness and often become angry at God, refusing to come to Him. That's why Satan masquerades as an angel of light is so effective. It turns white into black, black into white. And it gets believers and people believing that God is a liar and that God is the source of this darkness and troubles and distresses. And then it gets them to focus on that. And then they end up focusing on that rather than focusing on God. So I've been talking about meditation. Okay. In my book, Do You See What I See, on page 111, I have a plan that God gave me. It's called the 3 M's. And it's called memorize, meditate, and mouth it. Now let me just read this one familiar verse, I'm sure to many, in Joshua 1:8. This is on page 111 in my book, Do You See What I See? If you haven't gotten that, you need to get this book. It's a good book. As a matter of fact, we are studying it right now, preparing a women's seminar, hallelujah, workshop. And the theme is called B-C-U-B-U. Oh, I just love that. Based off of Romans 6:4. You'll be hearing more about it because it's beginning to unfold. But it says in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Hallelujah. And then you will find good success. Now, it also says in, let me find this other verse. If you go to 1 Timothy 4:15 and also to in Philippians, well, I won't read them, Philippians 4:8. But Paul does say, he says in Philippians 4:8, meditate on these things. And then he tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:15 the same thing. Meditate on these things. Now, we won't read it because I don't have time right now because I want to get back to this word about meditation. But basically, he is saying, as Joshua said, now this is the Spirit of God speaking to these men. To these men. Remember, all scriptures, God inspired as he speaks and breathes through these minds and of these people that love the Lord. But he is saying, meditate on these things, on the things of God. Focus on the light. Now, the word meditation, it means to moan, growl, utter, muse, mutter. It means to roar, to speak, to devise, to imagine, to ponder over and over and over. So that's some of the synonym words for the word meditation. So what God is telling us as believers, we need to meditate on the Word of God. Now, my three M's, before you meditate on the Word of God, you got to first memorize it. Now, you don't have to memorize it word for word, but you do need to know what the address is of a scripture. You need to know the context of the scripture that you're memorizing. That means the environment around maybe one or two verses you're memorizing. You need to understand who's speaking, who wrote it, what's the geographical location, what's the historical and the cultural location, who's the author speaking to, what's the narrative. You need to know those things to rightly interpret the verse that you're memorizing. And so you'll have the right understanding. So you need to read the Word of God, but you need to memorize it. Reading is just one step of the learning process. See, real learning, scientists call it the quantum Zeno effect. It means repeated learning, repeated repetition over the same thing, over the same thing. In scriptures, that's what they're saying right here, is repeated learning and grabbing it, holding on to it so you don't forget. Because Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, that if we forget what we've learned, then we can't really use it. We'll even forget, believers will even forget their position in Christ. And if you forget who you are in Christ, that's when that dead dog comes alive. Because you can only shop at two stores, either the light store or the dark store. And if you're not shopping constantly at the light store, then you're automatically defaulting at the dark store. You know who's behind that, which we've been talking about, Satan, the masquerader. So you need to memorize the scriptures. Then, once you get it memorized, then you go back over it, make it personal. That's where the meditation comes in, because then you start kind of changing the verses, not the verse, but the actual pronouns to or nouns to pronouns. Instead of saying thee or them, you say me or I. So you make it personal when you start memorizing scriptures. And you go over and over. And as you're going over it, the Holy Spirit is giving you illumination. He's giving you understanding. He's giving you wisdom about that verse that pertains to you personally. And then that verse, you begin to own it. Then once you get to that meditation part, then that's when you start mouthing it. You start sharing it with others. You start rehearsing it with others. You start giving testimony about it with others. You start sharing it. And you start speaking it. You start living it. But you got to first get that word in you first. Reading is just the very first part. But if you're not going to memorize it, you're going to forget it. And those four soils in Matthew 13, when the seed went hit the ground, the hard ground, the birds came and snatched it away. And then when the seed took a little bit of root, but it didn't go deep enough. Well, then when the troubles and trials and tribulations came in that stony stony soil, then because of all those rocks, the seed sprouted. But then when the trials came, it withered away. And then the weedy soil, the seed was sown, which represents the word. And then when the seed was sown, it couldn't take root because of all the worry and the busyness around that seed choked out the seed. But the fourth seed, which is really three there, because some were 30, 60, and 100. But that fourth seed, it took root. It was good ground. It took root. It read the word. It memorized. And then it mounted and took roots. And then it began to grow and produce 30, 60, and 100 times fold over. So, see, we have our part that we have to do. And the only thing that we have to do as believers, hallelujah, this is what I love about the Word of God. The more I'm learning about God and His love and His grace, I am just so grateful, so thankful that all we have to do is believe His Word to where it is so real to us that we will memorize it. We'll want to. There'll be that want. It won't be like I have to. See, that's legalism. I have to do this. I have to do that to appease Him. No, no, no. He's already happy with us as believers because of Christ in us. Hallelujah. So what we get to do out of gratitude and gratefulness, we get to read His Word. We get to memorize His Word. We get to meditate and ponder on it and chew on it, make it personal for ourselves, and we get to share it. We get to mouth His Word of God. And so, believers, if we are actively responding that way to the Word of God, Satan has nothing on us. He's going to still throw his lies. He lies all the time. He's a father of lies, John 8:24. It's in his very nature. That's what he does. And his lies are sin. So, but when they come at us, or when they spring up from the inside, from old past memories, sinful memories in the form of thoughts, or they come from the outside, and something triggers those different thoughts from our non-conscious to our conscious level, they won't have any control over us. We won't meditate on those. We'll get the Word of God and wipe off and wipe on. We'll wax on and wax off, renewing the Word of God. See how that works? And once you understand your position, you start accessing your power, resurrection power, through your spiritual gifts, then you will start performing and mouthing out God's Word that will cause you to stay in that fourth P in His presence all the time. Isn't that beautiful? That's what our book is about. Do you see what I see? That's what our women's conference is going to be about. Helping believers, helping female believers, hallelujah, to get healed by looking at who they really are in Christ. And as they see who they really are, they will be who they really are. That is so radically different than just going to church every Sunday, going to Bible study on a Wednesday, forgetting everything you learned in between, turning on the world as it burps and turns, and then shutting it off for a couple hours during the week. That's religion. That's legalism. That is not a relationship with the true and living God to where He is transforming you from the inside out. And that's different. Can you see the difference with that? So this is what I'm about. I want to expose the works of darkness. I want to expose Satan's lies and his masquerading tricks and his lies that are sin. And I love using the spiritual with the physical, because our mind is separate, our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, they're separate entities than our brain. Our brain is part of our body, the physical part, but they work together. But it is the soul that controls the brain and the body parts, not the other way around. So, brothers and sisters, I just want you to know, Satan has nothing on you. You can know the truth, and it is the truth of Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one that has set you free if you are a believer. And just like in the Galatians in chapter 3, Paul said, look, you got saved by grace. Now what makes you think you can maintain your salvation by doing some kind of works? Read it. It's right there in Galatians 3. He is rebuking these believers because they've been born again. They've heard the true message of God's word. He says, but you're believing another gospel. That's in Galatians chapter 1, which really isn't a gospel because it's a counterfeit that Satan is using through his ministers, through the Judaizers, through his ministers. So that's why he tells us to be careful, be watchful, because Satan is like a lion roaring around seeking who he can devour. Hey, I got to get ready to go. I got a good old song by Shirley Caesar. It's titled, I Know the Truth. I hope you enjoy it and stay tuned to my next series, or not series, my next episode. We're going to talk about the fall of Satan. Is Lucifer Satan, and does the fall of Lucifer describes Satan. So we're going to talk about that next time. So I love you, brothers and sisters. Stay focused and meditate on His Word because He loves you. Shirley,
rhyme one time, make it hot, yeah. Tambourines, it's the same, let's go, huh. Come on, let's go. Everybody just drop. Come on, let's go. Everybody just drop, yeah. To you. She got some like Odyssey's Grammys from the Cali to Miami, got the game on lock. Come on, 1-2 step with the clown walk, mix with the church flow, stomp 3 times, it's a rap, yo.
Church band. You tell the lies, but I know the truth. We off to the Grammys.
Oh, I know the-